14th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. Follow some of the interesting links, usually associated with or somewhat compatible with the ideas of the guest for that day. There is also a link to ZCF's book, Masters of Deception, at spingola.com. Since the Radio Act of 1927, we have lived in a censored corporate media environment. Herbert Hoover, a longtime Rothschild minion, as Secretary of Commerce from 1921 through 1928, was responsible for the Radio Act of 1927, which placed the responsibility of licensing and regulating, regulating all of the radio stations in the nation in the hands of the federal government. The Radio Act of 1927 established the Federal Radio Commission, the FRC. The government mandated that regulation was essential due to a barrage of signal interference. Selectively licensing broadcasters solved the dilemma of allocating the alleged limited amount of airwave frequency. Government regulations, regardless of public airwave ownership, stifle the free dissemination of ideas in an open marketplace. The airwaves are, by definition, public property. However, a government commission and certain private corporations now manage those airwaves in order to control your perceptions, what you believe about the world and its history. The airwaves belong to the people, not the government or corporations who are its intimate partners. Corporate monopolization of the public airwaves was further increased with the FCC decision on December 18, 2007, which allowed even greater media consolidation. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Rodney Martin, and he is going to talk about something very, very interesting. His website is Worldview Foundations, which is wvfoundations.org. Welcome to the program, Rodney.
Good morning, Deanna, and I'm looking forward to this topic. You know, we have, before we get into the main topic, I wanted to just pay tribute to a very special lady who passed away recently, and that was the widow of Wilhelm Furtwängler, the famous director of the Berlin Philharmonic during the Third Reich period, and then just for a period after the Third Reich. She passed away just a couple of days ago at the age of 102. She was, a lot of people didn't realize she was still alive, but she was, and she died in Germany, and she never stopped defending her husband. Also on the same day, one of the last self-professed July 20th traitors died. Edward von Kleist, he died. Now, whatever his involvement was, and I sent those two obituaries out. And of course, the passing of Frau von Furtwängler was a loss. But she had a full life at 102. And we'll pick this up on the end. I hear the music.
Exactly. All righty. We will be right back after a 3-minute commercial break.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256 or go to zerodebtguaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt, and so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure. Or
forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations, whose website is wvfoundations.org. All righty. I received those two announcements about the people who died. And thank you so much. And people, listeners can sign up on the website, wvfoundations.org, to receive their regular emails. Okay, Rodney, let's get to the topic of the day.
Yeah, send me an email and I'll send those out. But in one of those articles, Deanna, they had that another great lie that the July 20th prisoners were executed and it was filmed for Hitler and such. And that is actually a bold-faced lie. There was a time where photographs were brought to Hitler and put on his desk by Hermann Fegelein. And Hermann Fegelein was later executed for desertion. And Hitler swooped pictures off his desk and said, I'm putting all that behind me. I'm not interested in that stuff. But they keep repeating these same bogus tales all the time. Well, today, Deanna, we're going to get into the Holocaust fraud. Prompted this was some email questions to you. But then also at the same time, this new New York Times article comes out. And the timing of it is rather interesting, where they are basically brushing off the Holocaust narrative. And, there's several headlines, and what I'd like to do is put some perspective on, why they did that and look at the authors of that new article. And, of course, their premise is the Holocaust just got – the headline of the New York Times was the Holocaust just got more shocking. And their premise is, and I'm calling it the 7-Eleven theory, named after the 7-Eleven convenience stores, is that, the premise of a convenience store, Deanna, is that there's a convenience store in every corner. And what they said in that article is that every German had to know that there was basically, there were so many of these camps and killing centers and such, there was one on every corner. So the Germans had to be, you know, they literally walked out their door and walked down the corner, and then there was a concentration camp or some sort of, you know, facility. So there were just so many of them, and there was more than we ever knew. If you look at the way this has packaged, they are basically, dusting off, the narrative. And, first question you have to ask as we move into this, and actually the two articles I'm going to pull up and discuss is the actual New York Times article where they reintroduced this. And of course the head researcher where this so-called research came about came out of the United States Holocaust Museum by a researcher by the name of Martin Dean. And his title is Research Scholar, period. That's all it's about him. So it was published in the New York Times, but then the Deutsche Welle, DW Journal in Germany, carried it as well. And so we'll get into that. But, you know, the first question is, why do this? Why would they put a story out there that says, first of all, they're, you know, all of a sudden this is much broader and more pervasive, and, you know, there's more of these than we originally. Well, in the last 5 years, there's been excellent work done by revisionists, and even some historians in mainstream academia chipping away at this. And, what I like to tell people, I approach, you know, this Holocaust fraud from a little different perspective. And what I tell people is, you know, when you apply standards of science and logic and reason, and when also you apply the legal rules of procedure and evidence, the Holocaust narrative just absolutely collapses. It just cannot sustain itself. None of the stories that are told about this Holocaust can hold up under any legal analysis. When you apply the rules of evidence, the rules of procedure, when you apply science and logic and reason, it just cannot hold up. And of course, immediately people say, well, Germans were tried at Nuremberg. Well, there was, you know, the rules of procedure and evidence and such was suspended at Nuremberg. They were not applicable at Nuremberg. It was basically a show trial, and that's absolutely a fact, and we can get into that. So there was none. So why, getting back, why did this all of a sudden come out? Well, in the last 5 years, there's been a significant amount of chipping away at this Holocaust fraud. You have had a significant number of books that have been proven to be absolute frauds. You've had, particularly, I can name of a couple right now, the Jewish couple that said, you know, he met her and his wife at the gates, and that was proved to be a fraud. But recently, the mascot story, that's proven to be a fraud. Simon Wiesenthal himself has been proven to be a fraud. And it's basically beginning to collapse. And I've said on your show and on John Friend's radio show that I remain cautiously optimistic that time is on our side. So the Holocaust brand, and that's what the Holocaust fraud has become. It's become basically a marketing gimmick to keep extorting money from the German government and to keep this business enterprise going in the United States and other Western European nations to court this collective guilt and public sympathy for Jews and for Israel and to keep these reparations going. It kind of reminds me of a situation, the way that the child family law is structured in the United States, to where you have multiple kids on child support, and as one child goes off of child support, they recalculate it so where the amount is the same, you know, even though there's one less child that's eligible. I mean, this is what the Jews in this Holocaust racket is going. Every 5 or 10 years, they go back to Germany and say, well, we need more money, when it's supposed to be winding down. It's gotten so bad that the Hungarians have ceased paying into this fund. And this is not by accident that this article comes out saying, oh, this was much broader than we ever know. Well, that statement, Deanna, is not credible on the surface. Germany was defeated. Eastern Europe was occupied by the Soviets for 60 years. Western Germany was occupied by the British, French, and Americans for the same. Still is occupied. Actually, there's still British troops in Germany, and there's still American troops in Germany. And all of a sudden, and they're telling us in 2013 that they're just still finding out the stuff. That is just an absolutely nonsensical statement to say that they are just now finding more of these, more information about something that, in areas that they had occupied for 60 years. So their opening statement is absolutely not credible. However, for a dumbed down, a completely dumbed down populace that have become so, programmed to 20-second headlines, to basically say, oh, wow, new information, what's new? And you say, well, there was 30,000 camps. And that's what they're saying in this new article, that there was 30,000 of these concentration camps. They were much more pervasive than what was originally reported. That's a shock, and that's a shock and awe to the essentially what Rush Limbaugh, and I detest him, but he actually has a good point when he says low information person. Let's face it, the United States population has been programmed to be low information. So when you open your newspaper or turn on your TV to the talking heads that are, you know, designed to program you, and say new information says that there was, you know, much more of this. This is much more pervasive and much worse. Their immediate reaction is exactly what the Jews and these stooges at the Holocaust Museum wanted to be. It was, oh my God, we better start, we better ratchet up the self guilt, and the Germans had better break out their checkbook. And not only that, but
the American public, the taxpayers in this country, spend about $50 million a year to keep that Holocaust Museum going.
Well, beyond that, too, the U.S. just also sent keep in mind, we're in a tremendous economic crisis, and the United States also committed $7 million to Auschwitz preservation, and people don't realize that. I mean, I sent a letter to my congressmen and my senators complaining, saying, you know, where is the interest of the United States in preserving Auschwitz? If Poland wants to preserve Auschwitz, let Poland do it. But the United States, Hillary Clinton, before she left office as Secretary of State, committed $7 million in the State Department budget to Auschwitz preservation. Now, here, the national parks in the United States are falling apart. They're a mess. And we are given $7 million to preserve a work camp, basically a work camp and a prisoner camp in Poland. And I say that, a work camp and a prisoner camp, because it's important to correct a historical record as to what these camps are. And that goes to basically the very crust of what I'm going to talk about today as we talk about the Holocaust fraud in this New York Times article, and what the overall premise of this article is, what they're trying to accomplish. And that is the Holocaust fraud as a brand is damaged. People are not buying into it as much. So what do you do? What does a company do? What's a marketing effect? Your brand is damaged. You dust off your brand and you reintroduce it. And that's exactly what they did with this New York Times article. They basically, dusted off their brand. And they basically said, we have new information. Look how bad this really was. They put a bunch of red dots on a map and said, look at all of these camps were, and ghettos and such. And they said this was much more pervasive. Well, if you really
They said there was 42,500 Nazi ghettos and camps throughout Europe. I mean, when you consider the number of Jews in Europe at that time, given that many of them were deported out of the area and into Soviet Russia, that would be like one camp for every two people.
Deanna, their numbers are incorrect. I actually called the United States Holocaust when I was tracking down and preparing for this show, and I was just flabbergasted.
Indeed. All righty, we are going to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the Pure Effect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your Pure Effect Ultra today by visiting pureeffectfilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit pureeffectfilters.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of the Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. Rodney, let's clarify that you are not a hater, that you are not out to hate a particular group of people. You are simply interested in disseminating the truth.
Correct. I bear no ill will towards anybody or anyone or any group. What I am absolutely opposed to is perpetuating frauds and myths and basically this absolutely fraudulent scheme. That's what I call it, a fraudulent scheme to repress Germans and German history, which has been going on since 1945. And that is my objective, is to correct the historical record. Do I find the practices and the conduct of Jews and how they conduct themselves and what they did in Weimar, what they've done in America, repulsive? Absolutely, and I made that perfectly clear. I don't make, you know, I don't shy away from that.
I think the most hateful activities and behavior is accusing a whole nation of something as dreadful as they have been accused of. And I'm talking about the Germans, Germany.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And to continue to tell the Germans I'll use an example, Deanna, and I think I brought this up on your show before. But here's a perfect example is that, you know, the German Bundeswehr is engaged in peacekeeping operations, which has resulted in the loss of German soldiers all over the world. And a couple of years, I think it was 2010, the German defense minister said, we need to bring back the Iron Cross and award it for bravery. And the Iron Cross goes back to Frederick the Great. And immediately the Central Council of Jews, including Israel, condemned them and said, you are bringing back a Nazi decoration and we won't have it. And they put so much pressure that the whole idea was scrapped. It was just absolutely scrapped, and they came up with this little puny, absolutely horrible looking, bronze looking medallion that they awarded that the German soldiers won't even wear. I mean, it's just out. But that just goes to show you how absolutely repressive that these people will stoop to continue this absolute myth. And that's one of the things we'll talk about today is what these camps were. Were there camps? Yes, I've never said there were not camps in Germany and in German-occupied territories. But there were camps in the Soviet Union called gulags, which were far worse than the camps that were operated by the Germans. The Germans, you know, I mean, I don't remember any Red Cross reports of any Red Cross visits to Stalin's gulags. There were camps in Great Britain. There were camps in the United States. I have visited, in fact, I have pictures. I have visited the camps that in Manzanar, for instance, which is not that far from where I live. I took my son, and I showed him pictures of some of the camps was shown when my kids first went to public school, when they put them through this horrific Holocaust class, which was one of the deciding factors my wife and I made in removing our kids from the public schools. And I showed him this, this picture. I said, now that's what you were shown in your Holocaust class. And I took him to Manzanar and says, what's that look like? And he said, well, that looks like the same thing. And we walked Manzanar and explained the conditions. And so there were camps all over during that period of time.
Including 200 camps that were run by Eisenhower. And they were really death camps.
Well, yeah, you get into that as well. And the camps that, some of the camps that were set up by Eisenhower had no buildings, they had no toilets, they had no covered buildings, and Germans were put out there in open air spaces to die in the rain and the cold. So, this is getting to be nonsensical, this thing called the Holocaust, and to even go a step further, people are led to believe that the only people that were put in camps were Jews. And that they were put there with the expressed purpose to be eradicated and exterminated. That there was a government policy to exterminate Jewish people in Europe, and that is patently false. There is absolutely no evidence. There is no evidence to substantiate that. We're going to get in there, and when you actually probe them, and I go back to my statement earlier, Deanna, that when you strip away all the hysterical, emotionally charged oversimplifications that are made to justify this Holocaust myth. And when you apply reason and logic, and when you apply legal rules of evidence and procedure, the Holocaust myth does not stand up. There are two primary bases that the people that advocate this is going to sound funny, but there are people that basically mandate that you accept the Holocaust as your personal Lord and Savior. And I mean, and that is just absolutely, I mean, it's shocking that they go that far. You have Christians that mandate that you accept the Holocaust, and particularly Jewish people as your personal Lord and Savior. That's where you hear people Judeo-Christian, and it's nonsensical. But you have these camps. And if you look at the actual, accurate record, there were 69, and well, there are actually 69 to 70, 75 camps. It's 69 fully operational camps throughout Europe between 1933, when the NSDAP came into power, and until the end of the war. 59 of them, Deanna, were built during wartime.
That's right. Alrighty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations, and that website is wvfoundations.org. And you were saying that there were 69 camps, 59 of which were built during the war. Now, did that include all of German-occupied Europe, or
Europe? There were of those camps. Let me pull back that note, because I was actually going to move on into it. But there were 69 total camps constructed. 58 were constructed during wartime between late 39, after the invasion of Poland. And when I say constructed, in some cases, actually, the Germans would convert existing facilities. And in one case, actually, the first two camps that were built in Germany was Oranienburg, just north of Berlin, and that had been operating as a penal facility under Weimar, and it was a former brewery. It had been a brewery in the Weimar years, and the Weimar government had converted it to a penal facility. And during those years, the prisoners would be marched through the streets near Oranienburg on work detail, and the NSDAP just continued that, and that facility was actually closed about a year and a half later. At the same time Oranienburg was open, Dachau was open at the same time. So the very first two camps were Oranienburg and Dachau in 1933, and those coincided with the Enabling Act, the Emergency Act after the Reichstag fire, when the communists were being picked up and all of the other criminals and traitors were being picked up during the state of emergency. Those were the first two. But as you can see, we're only talking about 10 camps. And these were penal camps, and some of them there were re-education camps as well. And I'm going to talk specifically about the re-education camps, because the NSDAP had a very intricate re-education system. And the camps that were in Germany operated completely different than the camps that were outside of Germany. But you had essentially three different types of camps. You had the labor camps, and then you had the penal type camps, and then of course you had POW camps. And it's important, and I'm going to keep segueing back and forth on this New York Times article, because what they are saying is prisoner of war camps, of course they also say there was extermination camps, and I reject the notion of anything of an extermination camp, because that has been proven so patently false that it just doesn't hold up. And I'm going to make that statement again for the benefit of your listeners. And I think your listeners, it's not enough for people like me and other people and historians to say this. And it's going to take people who listen to these shows and write letters to basically remind people that when you strip away the emotional hyperbole, the intellectual dishonesty, and the emotionally oversimplifications, and when you apply reason, logic, and most importantly, if you apply, you know, rules of evidence and procedure, the Holocaust fraud just doesn't hold up. There was no extermination camp. There was no government program of extermination. And the two fundamental, what I call hat hooks, the people that say there was a Holocaust to hang their hat on, usually they hang it on two events. They either hang it on the Wannsee Conference, and I'm going to talk about that during this show, or they hang it on what was called Himmler's secret Posen speech, and I'm going to talk about that as well, because neither one of those would hold up in any sort of what I would call a court of law. A court of law would not even hold those.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Rodney, for those people who maybe have never even heard that the Holocaust might be a myth, if they are turning into this program for the first time in their lives, and they have grown up with Hollywood movies portraying this horrible extermination, what do you say to those people?
Well, what I would say to you, the first thing is, there was no such term as a Holocaust until the movie, I think it was a TV miniseries called Holocaust, came out in the 1970s. There was no such thing. In fact, Eisenhower, as bad as he was, and Churchill, they never even used the word Holocaust in their memoirs. They never talked about it. There was no such thing as the term Holocaust. Holocaust was created by Jews in Hollywood and such to gin up support, and they saw the possibility of cashing in. So this was developed. The term Holocaust and the Holocaust industry and this business of keeping Germany and Western Europe, and of course now it's spread. I mean, I'm of the impression that they decided to spread and use it to keep, you know, basically Western civilization on its knees. This started in the 1970s. There was no talk of Holocaust immediately post World War II. There was no talk of Holocaust in the 1950s. There was no talk of Holocaust in the 1960s. This started in earnest in the mid 1970s when this TV miniseries came out, and it was titled Holocaust. And they immediately centered Holocaust to make people and program people into think that it was only Jews, and that, you know, people in America, it is so appalling. People will say, you know, what was the tragedy of World War II? And they'll say, oh, 6 million Jews died. They won't talk about, you know, 20 million, you know, deaths on the Eastern Front. They won't talk about that. You know, the combined battle casualties of the Soviet Union and Germany was about, just military deaths alone was about 12 million alone. Not to mention civilians. I mean, you know, 2.5 million German women were raped by the Red Army between late 1944 June 1945. 2.5 million German women were raped. Nobody talks about any of those numbers. So between mid-1970s to the present, this Holocaust narrative, this fraud, has been perpetrated mainly in the media. A lot of the stories, and let's talk about those just for a little bit, the fables that people have been brought up to talk about. lampshade made of human skin. That was proven false by Allied judges and occupation authorities at the time. The lampshades were supposedly made of human skin. It was goat skin. Soap made of human body, Jewish body parts was proven false, but yet they keep repeating this stuff and repeating this stuff and repeating this stuff. And time again, there have been, fables that have been told by, interestingly, they keep rolling out the same eyewitnesses over and over and over and over. And what's interesting is you look back in the 1970s when they started developing this Holocaust myth, this Holocaust fable, the same eyewitnesses that are still alive today, of course, they're quite elderly. They were a lot younger in the 1970s. That was what gave birth to Steven Spielberg's Shoah Project. We better get these people on tape because they're going to die off pretty soon. And of course, now they're developing a hologram type of program. I was told where they're going to have these, you know, they're going to record the actual video and project these people in holograms so they have them in perpetuity. And then even in those cases, Deanna and your listeners, a lot of these so-called eyewitnesses' testimony have been debunked, you know, in some cases. You know, the Ernst Zundel trial up in Canada, there were several of these so-called eyewitnesses, and their testimony was debunked and proven false. And that goes to what I had said earlier in the program. When you apply absolute rules of evidence and logic and reason, this myth, and I'm calling it a myth, but it's more importantly, it's a fraud. Deanna, it's a fraud. A fraud is being perpetrated on Germans, but it's also being perpetrated on Western civilization. Why is there this $50 million or whatever million dollar behemoth? Why is there a Holocaust museum in the United States?
Why are there several of them?
Why do American taxpayers have to pay for a Holocaust museum? Why do American taxpayers pay $7 million to preserve Auschwitz? I mean, it goes now. It is beyond Germany. Now it is beyond keeping Germans on their knees. Now it's basically this Holocaust fraud is being used to keep Western Christian civilization on their knees, and that should be of concern to everyone. That concerns me greatly. But historical accuracy concerns me greatly. When you have an article that comes out, because this fraud is being shown and it's being chipped away and being proven to be incorrect, they come out with this new article. And let's go ahead and look at this article real briefly. And it was in the New York Times. And it says under news and analysis, and it basically says that the researchers at the U.S. Holocaust Museum, and they have the map, the multimedia map, and it says researchers have cataloged, and I've only highlighted a few areas because if you really read this article closely, and if you've done a lot of historical research, as I have done, you can easily pick this thing apart. And the first thing that you can tell, the first question I had was when they talked about 30 or 40,000 of these, and I called, oh, they're saying that this was like a 7-Eleven. There was a, you know, like a convenience store. They had a camp or, you know, this was like on every corner. What are they using? What's the criteria? Well, I called up the Holocaust Center in Washington, D.C. I said, can I get a copy? Where is this going to be posted? You know, and they were very, very reluctant to share any information, and which tells me all this is basically a marketing campaign. Usually, if you're going to have this degree of research, you publish it, you post it, you put it. You know, I post everything on my website, and you post it on there. You put all your. What's the sources? You know, where? What's the basis for these maps? Well, it's pretty clear, Deanna. What they've done is they have counted all the prisoner of war camps, all of the work camps, and most importantly, and this is important, Deanna, all of the ghettos. In this number. Now let's focus on the ghettos for a little bit. Jews had lived in segregated ghettos by their own choice in Europe for centuries before the National Socialists came to power and before they conquered Europe between 1940 and 1942 when they occupied Poland, then they occupied the Balkans, and of course bear in mind Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, those were German allies. So the Jews in Hungary, they were living in their own ghettos and in Jewish, what they call Jewish quarters. And there was no action, there was no action taken against Jews in Hungary until 1944. But anyway, what I'm getting back is they are listing ghettos. They are listing the Jewish quarters, the Jewish neighborhoods as camps. And yet Jews lived there. In Warsaw, for instance, what became the Warsaw Ghetto was the Jewish quarter where Jews had lived there. They're essentially counting the Jews' own homes where they were allowed to live, except, they had to register and such until they were evacuated and resettled to various camps in accordance with German policy, as camps. And in some cases, they're essentially double dipping. So if you're allowed to stay in your home, except you're allowed to register, they were counting that as a camp. I mean, it's very, very disingenuous and dishonest. If you go further into this article, they go a step further. They talked about there was killing centers where women were forced to have abortions, and then there were brothels where women were coerced into having sex with German military personnel. And let me stop there. There is absolutely no backup in their research or in their document to back that up. And I asked them when I called them on the phone, I said, where is the documentation for that? Because we do know, for instance, the Japanese, when they occupied China, that was an issue. That there is without a doubt the Japanese and, the Japanese did actually have Chinese sex slaves for the Japanese Imperial Army. And, the Japanese Imperial Army was vastly different. The Japanese Imperial Air Force, was entirely a different caliber than the Imperial Army. But that did happen in the Far East. That did not happen in Europe. The German military did not have sex slaves and did not create a brothel system and concentration camps for use for their German military personnel. Now, there was brothels in these large camps for the population. There was a brothel at Auschwitz, but it was for the camp inmates. It's well documented. I mean, that is a factual basis. The camps, and it was at the request of the camp inmates. It's kind of interesting. The Jewish camp inmates and the other camp inmates, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but there was more, there was other populations in there in some of these camps other than Jews. But I want to go back to that statement. It says that the Germans had set up camps that had brothels where women were forced to have sex with German military personnel. That is not substantiated. And this is the first time that this is introduced into this narrative. I can find no other research, anybody, that's never been alleged before, that the Germans had set up camps with brothels and forced camp inmates to have relations with German military personnel. I mean, let's look at the logistics of this real quick. German military are going to come back from their duty stations from the front, going to go to a camp, to a brothel in a camp, to a brothel there. That doesn't make any sense. Now, we do know that there was a significant number of liaisons between Germans and French women. They produced a lot of German and French children, and a lot of those German and French children actually ended up in Germany after the war and took German citizenship. But those were apparently, in a lot of cases, those were mutual relationships. Those were not. That wasn't a situation of coercion by any means. So we see what we're seeing here as this article builds, Deanna, is they just keep going over the top. They keep adding allegations and adding allegations without any substantiation or without any basis in fact. They go a step further. They go back into the ghetto. It's pretty clear that they talk about the numbers. They give a number in this article, and then I'm going to switch over to the article that they carried in Deutsche Welle. They say that they estimate 15 to 20 million people died or were imprisoned in the sites that have been identified. 15 to 20 million people have died, or they say estimated. But they don't actually provide on their multimedia list, they don't actually list. But I took the liberty of blowing that multimedia map up and started pinpointing. And a vast majority of these lists were actually ghettos or actually work camps, such as, production factories and camps of that nature.
Right. Rodney, I'm sorry, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org.
In this New York Times article, which is highlighting this quote-unquote new and shocking report, they only cite two people that they used as an example. And what's interesting, Deanna, is they kind of, if you read this close, a close and critical read, they make the case that I'm making, is that the Germans followed a very meticulous policy of resettlement and relocation. First of all, the two sources that they use clearly state that they were held in their hometowns. They say that. One of them is a Mr. Greenbaum. is cited in this article. He says they were held in their hometowns. Now, to be held in your hometowns, to me, that's not a concentration camp. They had to register, fine. But bear in mind, in 1933, the Jewish World Congress declared war on Germany. So you have an enemy, you have an enemy stateless nation that is in your sphere of influence, and bear in mind, occupied nations were Germany's sphere of influence at that time. So the Germans, in accordance with laws in their occupied nations, first of all, they registered them and then held them in their home and in their homes in the Jewish quarter, which became known as ghettos. And Mr. Greenbaum confirms this in this article. Then they were moved to relocation camps in accordance with German policy, not extermination camps. He talks about being moved to five different camps. And during the times of these being moved, it's as the Red Army, because he was in Poland, moved closer. And under international law, if you have people in your care and custody, you have to make a good faith effort to move them. And the Germans did that, believe it or not. Even, it's kind of interesting. Come 43, the bombing campaign, the Allied bombing campaign, which was basically genocidal and terror, was having a tremendous impact on Germany. And yet they were still operating these camps. And, in 44, late 1944, the calorie intake of a camp prisoner was higher than a German civilian. And nobody, that has gone missing on a lot of people that accept the Holocaust as their personal Lord and Savior. But we'll continue. This article, again, their sources confirm what I'm telling you is that they were kept in their hometowns. Yet the article classifies their homes as being being one of these quote unquote 40,000 camps. Then it goes on, and this is even more interesting. And then I'll switch over to the Deutsche Welle, and we'll talk about what they talk about. They talk about in Berlin alone, this is an interesting, 3,000 camps and Jewish homes in Berlin, which they have counted in this $40,000 camp number. So they counted the Jewish homes. Now bear in mind, Jews in Germany were treated differently because of Nuremberg laws. And we're going to talk about that when we talk about the Wannsee Conference, because the Germans talked about that. Jews and others were treated legally different in Germany. But under this
port. Alrighty. I'm sorry, we do have to take our 60-second top-of-the-hour break. We will be right back after station ID.